This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 299 for the week ending Saturday, December 12th, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I am Jeff Nielsen, also known as your captain. And joining me today, the lovely Maria Johnson in Conyers, Georgia.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you here with us. And from the plains of Oklahoma, we have the inimitable Steve Nelson.
Happy Advent, everybody. Glad to be here.
And also joining us from the western states, Montana to be exact, the good father, Corey Stika.
Well, good morning. Where they
come from, good morning. Around.
Unfortunately, it's not raining on the plains out here. Instead, it's snowing.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed. I was watching or looking. I don't really, you know, get onto Facebook that often, as you may probably realize or know. Really? But I did see, I don't have, where do you have time for all this? I don't have time to hang out in Facebook
to my phone
and Twitter and that kind of stuff. I mean, if I was looking at my phone all the time, people, I don't know. Anyway,
I just give up working.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. I guess, you know, if I could get Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff while I'm, you know, up in at cruise altitude for hours and hours at a time, I'd be all over it as well. But they kind of frown on that.
You put your phone in airplane mode when you're flying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I do. Actually, I turn it off. So.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. I prefer that you be present to this, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't want to be, you don't want to have too many distractions when you're flying airplanes, even though, you know, the automation at cruise is taking care of a lot of that stuff, but it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you put something in that wasn't right, guess what? The airplane's going to do what you told it to do. So you're constantly monitoring everything, make sure that it's doing what you think it's supposed to be doing. So anywho, this is not the airline pilot guy show, but if you'd like to talk about and listen to people talk about aviation, please head over to airlinepilotguy.com.
Oh,
subscribe
via Miami
iTunes. Yeah, I was down in Miami and went to.
I can't believe that you. Go ahead.
What? Were you down there?
No, I just saw. No, yeah, I was. I was snooping around. I saw that you were at what is his name? Miami
Rick.
Miami Rick.
He's one of my co-pilots on my show, and he lives down in Miami, Coral Gables, I think. And I had three layovers on that 4-day trip. Every layover on my 4-day trip this past week was in Miami at the Hyatt Regency, right there on the Miami River on Biscayne.
Wow.
And
nice. That's where I had my wedding reception.
Really? That's a nice hotel. Nice hotel. So anyway, yeah, we were down there, and one of the days, the second layover, he joined me. The first one, we had dinner, and I kind of got in late. And then the second day, I was in earlier. And before we recorded our podcast, because we're both good Catholics, it was a holy day of obligation, and we drove over to Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church.
I used to go to Mass there.
Really? Well, then you know exactly where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Mass there for that.
Look at Steve. It was like, what are they having their little moment, those two? That was John's parish.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice little pretty church. And luckily they had a Mass at 5:30, which worked out well for us, so that we went to that. And then we went and grabbed something to eat at this little Peruvian kind of sort of fast food, not really fast food, but quick food, counter food kind of place, and grabbed some stuff to take back to the room. And then we recorded episode 198. So there you go. More than you really wanted to know about My time.
All, right. All of this started because of the snow picture. That.
Yeah. So I was going to say, thank you. Posted. I'm glad you're getting us back on track.
I was wondering when we were going to loop back.
Thank you.
You're putting a holding pattern there for a while.
I don't think we would ever gotten back if Maria hadn't just said something about it. But so I was looking at Facebook and I saw your Dodge Charger covered in snow, Father Corey. So tell us about that.
Well, I was down in on Thursday. I went down to Lewistown, which is about 140 miles south of here. So it's like the next town, almost literally, when you go south of Malta here. And we had a penance service there. So I go down for the penance service, and it's starting to snow as I'm driving into town. Actually, I pull kind of a silly, dumb decision. There's two ways to get from Malta to Lewistown. First one, you turn and you kind of skirt around mountains. Other one, you go right over the top of them. And yes, right over the top is an absolutely beautiful drive. It's like 9 miles difference between the two. So, I mean, time-wise, it's a wash. Except when it's snowing. Which route do you think is worse when it's snowing? The mountain route. Which route do you think I took?
Yeah. The mountain route.
Yeah.
Exactly. On a rear-wheel drive.
Because you're in a zippy car. It's a testosterone mobile.
Yes, exactly. No, it was a good drive. I mean, the roads weren't horrible, but they were definitely snow-covered and slick. An SUV had gone off the road like just minutes before I passed him, you know. So, I mean, it was, and my car even kind of wiggled there a little bit like it wanted to follow, you know. So it wasn't great roads, but it was, I mean, I got down fine. I didn't end up in the ditch or anything like that. Just, it's like, okay, that was dumb. Move on. So
don't do that again.
The road's heading. So then I was going to take the other route, the normal route, the shorter route, which does not go across the mountains. And I got about 10 miles out of town and I looked at the radar. You know, I pulled over and looked at the radar on the phone and went, you know what? It's snow all the way home. This is 9 o'clock at night. 140-mile drive. That's not going to happen. So I ended up turning around and staying overnight instead of driving home like I planned. I wasn't going to do that.
That was a good decision.
Probably very wise.
Yeah.
I've done that way too many times. It's not fun. I probably would have been fine. I probably would have made it. It would have been like 1 a.m, but I probably would have made it.
Yeah, but why put yourself through all that stress? I mean, exactly. I've done those snow drives. They're not at night. No,
they're
not worth it.
No. So I got turned around, and that's that can be a pretty desolate road too. So if something did happen, you might be stuck there till the next morning before someone actually comes by.
So. Wow. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, I put the air conditioning on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was 70 degrees here yesterday, and it's supposed to be 40 today.
Oh, so you are going to get some cooler temperatures then.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the weather, but there's this front that's passing, you know, west to east, and just came through here, and now it's gray, cold, and rainy. And yesterday, it was beautiful, 70 degrees.
Yeah, I do.
That's pretty usual.
I was paying attention to that front because I have a request in for flying. And then I thought, you know, I think that I'll take it out for Saturday. It looks like Saturday is not a good day to fly. Yeah. So, of course, you know, I don't know exactly where they'd send me, but probably Oklahoma City or something like that. So
there you go.
So I see right now it's 27 degrees in the fine town of Malta, Montana.
Yes, it is.
And you're going to get some snow showers on Monday.
Yep.
Thank you for joining the Catholic Weekend weather forecast.
Yeah, exactly.
So when are we going to get some cold weather here in the Atlanta area?
Never.
Never? Oh, I hope so. Looks like it's going to stay
like
in the
classes begin.
Yeah, 74 degrees today, 71 tomorrow, 64 and rain on Monday. So it looks crazy. Like it's going to be in the 60s for most of the week. Maybe dropping down to the 50s over the weekend, next weekend.
It'll be a balmy 42 degrees for Christmas.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like fun. Not. No. Of course, that's what we'll have.
Speaking of that, I'm excited about Mass this weekend for all the pink vestments.
Oh, that's right.
Pink. Well, they must buy about the Pepto-Bismol pink ones.
Oh. Rose. Rose.
No,
I know.
There are some vestments, the cheap polyester ones that priests get, you know, because they only wear them like twice a year, so they buy the cheapest ones they can find. I'm sorry, they're Pepto-Bismol pink.
Hmm. Oh, yes, that's exactly what we have, and I can't wait.
They're that exact shade of pink, and it's just like, why did you waste your money?
Because I didn't know any better.
See, my son,
you know, our Lassie, and he has vestments for all the feast days that are beautiful. He had something on Tuesday that was gorgeous. So I'm actually looking forward to see what he has.
Yeah. See, I have a set that I bought used. It was actually from a monastery that closed down, and it is definitely rose. It has much more red tint to it than those pink vestments do.
That's good. Maybe we should explain what we're talking about.
That might be a good idea. So why priests wear rose or pink this week there, Steve?
Because it's
they're preppy.
The third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday.
Exactly. It's a day of celebration in the midst of Advent. So we wear brighter, more festive colors. So
that's it. Wow, I thought there was going to be more. All right. Gaudete. What does that mean? Joy?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Gaudete and Laudete Sundays are Gaudete, the two Sundays where they're worn. Laudete is in Lent. And one's rejoice and one's... Yeah, unfortunately, my Latin is non-existent, so...
Yeah.
Rejoice.
I know Gaudete is rejoice, but I don't remember what Latere is. But, you know, it starts the two-week countdown clock for Christmas. So.
Exactly.
That's good.
And it's almost two full weeks because Christmas is on Friday this year.
Yeah.
So it's almost two full weeks.
That's good. So, Steve, how has your week been?
This was a pretty good week. Got a lot done at work. I was doing a lot of prep for – I'm going to Chicago next week for the Midwest Band and Orchestra Clinic. One of the two biggest conferences, conventions for music educators. And so it'll be up in Chicago there at McCormick Place. Nothing like going to Chicago the week or so before Christmas.
Ooh. Well, actually, going down Michigan Avenue the week or two before Christmas is a good thing because that's when they're all decorated up.
Yeah, beautiful. But coldest I've ever been in my entire life was this week in 1988, I remember it. Windchill was 65 below zero.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've had, that's not fun.
No. So every time I think about going to Chicago for this conference, I'm just like, oh no, please don't let it be like that again.
As well as you just stay in the hotel. You know?
Yeah. Is it downtown?
We're staying at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, which is right there. Big convention center just south of that Miracle Mile area on the lake.
Yep. It's nice. Over there on Lakeshore Drive, and that's Sir McCormick Place. What else? Big conventions, all kinds of stuff happens there. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely enormous. It's enormous. It's about, I measured it one time, it's about 3/4 of a mile walk from my hotel room to the exhibit hall where I'll be. Wow. And it's all indoors.
So is it going to be super freezing? Is it going to be super freezing now with the wind coming up off the lake?
Lows are supposed to be in the low 30s and high is supposed to be about 40, but
that's not terrible, but
it's not terrible. Yeah. But it's one of those conferences where, I'll be inside most of the time. So it's not that it's more the travel. It's trying to get home on the 19th of December, you know, through O'Hare.
That won't be a problem.
Never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, Maria, what exactly were you and the Catholic Drinky up to this week? I noticed some activity.
Oh, man. We had such a technology language fail on my part because I'm old. So Sarah has been very, very busy with work and some travel that she's done, and we were just missing connecting because at least we were seeing each other here on Saturdays, through the Hangout. So she sends me an invitation to hang out, and I'm old school. If we make a date to do something, I actually have a little calendar in my purse that I write it down in, like old people. And Sarah sends me a Google calendar invitation, and I see two things. It was Sarah plus Maria hang out. So where did my mind go?
You're going to get together physically, right?
Yeah, well, that we're going to get together physically was the invitation.
Right.
I had dinner at her house. But what I read, what I processed was that we were going to do a Google Hangout. Because plus and hangout. So we had been talking about getting together in a Google Hangout to create a badass cocktail to go with the book, just to celebrate. But you know, like that opportunity like came and went, and we didn't really talk more about it. So I thought, oh, she wants to do this now. So I send a note to my publicist to say, hey, you know, we're going to have this if you want to create a, you know. Something media, some kind of media. So I tell Sarah, I said, listen, give me a picture that we can use or something like that. And she's like, what? What? I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean? Picture for what?
Yeah.
You forgot what I look like?
I had already told, right. So, but by then I had already told the folks at Ave Maria that this was happening. So I had this bottle of limoncello for her anyway, and that was going to be the base of the cocktail. So we actually did get together and create the cocktail. It has a gin base with the limoncello and the most delicious cherries ever. I could have just eaten a jar of cherries. So we made the cocktail, but the hangout was such a fiasco because she hasn't been on Google Plus Hangouts for, you know, Google Hangouts for, 100 years.
Yeah.
And couldn't remember how to start it. So it was just.
I was watching it. And we needed this.
Oh, yeah. We had the best time. And of course, there had been a little tipple before.
I wondered how much had been consumed before the hangout had begun, because you guys were having way too much fun.
Well, I had Father Kyle Schnipple's scotch, which was delicious.
Mm.
And it was a single malt. I forgot the name of it, but I took a picture of it to remember. It's a little pricey, but
it was so funny because. I get it. You know, they finally send out the link. You know, first of all, both Father Kyle and I are like, link, hello. And then then they send out the link. And the first thing I hear as I get it up and running is, well, I'm going to text Father Corey and get him on here. You know, get him so he can watch. That Sarah's sending me a text right at that moment. It's like, I already know.
Well, because we couldn't see on top of everything else, we couldn't see the Lagavulin.
What? Are you having a stroke or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a stroke. I can smile.
Well, that was the name of the cherries.
I don't know. It's in an Instagram picture that I put out there. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm probably still hungover from that, but it was a very responsible evening, and we had a good time, and we made the cocktail. And let me tell you, I'm going to make it. It's really tasty.
Well, I know Maria and Sarah inspired me to make limoncello, so I think today I'm going to go get the lemons and the Everclear.
Listen, the trick is don't use a zester.
Okay.
Get a paring knife and peel the.
That's dangerous. You know, I might me and knives might be a bad thing. You know, I might cut myself.
Find a Boy Scout in your parish.
Oh, I was right. A Boy Scout. That's the problem.
Well, you can set fire to it when you're done.
Yeah, there you go.
Just make sure it's really, really sharp.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's safer. Actually, it is, right? Come on. Yeah. Who's the expert in knife safety? I think a sharp knife is a safe knife. Unless you...
less chance of it catching.
Slice your finger off or something. But
yeah, you can go too far with that. I knew this guy who... when I lived in Kansas City, he would spend his lunch hours sharpening pocket knives, and he'd make them like scalpels. Ugh. And just trying to open it, I would cut myself.
Oh, yeah, you can't go too far.
This is way too sharp.
It's like laser sharpened or something.
He had this knack. He could sharpen a knife better than anybody I know, but, you know, you came anywhere near that edge, and you would cut yourself.
Wow.
So did you guys see the story in Las Vegas? This is from the Catholic News Agency just a couple of days ago, December 10th. Catholics are disturbed after self-described Muslim-turned-Christian protesters disrupted masses at several churches in the metro area of Las Vegas within the past few weeks. In at least three incidents, the group Kusha Las Vegas, I'm sorry, Kusha, I don't think that is exactly the way that song goes, but couldn't help myself, have walked into churches in the middle of Mass, shouting at Catholics to repent and later posting videos of their protests to their YouTube page. According to their videos, the group consists of street preachers and self-proclaimed soldiers for Jesus. One video shows at least four men wearing bold Trust Jesus t-shirts walking up the aisle during a Mass, handing out pamphlets and telling the congregation that as Catholics, they have sinned against God and broken all of his laws. The man behind the camera then shouts, "Guys, repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Pope is a Satan. Mary statue is a Satan." Another video shows the same cameraman shouting, "Stop worshiping to the idols. Idols, not going to save you. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Father, the Son." Apparently, they're not paying attention to what happens at Mass because
don't confuse their delusion with the facts that we are the original Catholic Church, or we're a Christian church.
I know.
They're converts. The story goes that they're converts from Islam who became basically fundamentalist Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
radicalized
Bible
fundamentalists.
Radicalized, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they. You know, there are so many of these groups out there that they believe that the Catholic Church is the spawn of Satan and all this stuff. And of course, not knowing the history of without the Catholic Church, there would be no Christianity. Mm. You know, we're kind of the original. Y'all have broken away from us. Y'all the ones that need to repent, not us. Well, we need to repent, but we need to repent from our personal sins. We don't need to repent from being Catholics. That's the good thing we're doing.
Right.
That's the right thing we're doing. So,
well, never mind.
Yeah, wow. it's just a huge problem of misperception, misconception, not understanding, you know, what we do in our Catholic faith, our Catholic Christian faith. And once you understand exactly what it is what we're doing, and you know, just like as a picture of your family is not worshiping them, it's there to remind you of them, and it's just, we could go on forever, you know, preaching to the choir.
I would like to point out for those who maybe, you know, hear the accusations that, oh, Christians, you're so violent. You pro-lifers are so violent. In the videos, no one did anything. They didn't attack them. They didn't pull out a gun. They didn't pull out knives. They did nothing.
They didn't pull out, they didn't pull out the AK-47s and the pews and start, you know, gunning them down or anything.
Huh? No. So it'd be epic if that was a parish with AK-47s in the pews. No, I'm kidding.
No. It would not.
Yeah.
No, nothing happened. There was no violence. They yelled there. They got their yelling out and maybe got escorted out of the building or something. Who knows? You know.
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, the police are saying, well, I don't think they're really breaking any laws, although somebody said, a crime and safety expert with a local affiliate, Channel 13, he said he's not sure he agrees with the police that a crime has not been committed. And he references the state statute 201.270, which classifies the disturbance of a religious meeting as a misdemeanor.
Yeah, I was going to say, some states have laws against breaking up a religious service or disturbing a religious service. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Nevada does. Mm-hmm.
Guys, when did we lose our ability to dialogue? When did we lose our ability to have a sane conversation with someone and disagree with them and still be cordial and civil and even friendly?
I don't know.
I think when politics went that point, you know, and of course, there's always kind of been that. But the idea of that a debate, you know, you hear of like the Lincoln-Douglas debates. They couldn't be held today because it'd just be them doing bullet points against each other. Mm-hmm. You know, Chesterton always debated many, many people, G.K. Chesterton. Nowadays, it'd just be, here's the points I want to hit, and you're a fool for disagreeing with me.
Right. Or just start yelling over each other, and nobody's listening to anybody
I don't think any of this is new. I mean, the early days of the Reformation, Christians were killing each other over theological differences. I mean, this is nothing new. What's new is social media that makes it every little incident becomes.
Oh, horrible. aren't you sane and rational and historical?
Yeah. SRH.
That is a good point. That's a great point. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, because the impression is always hysteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it has gotten worse. I think it has gotten worse again. We did have a point not that long ago when you could have, sit down and have rational discussions. I think it's gotten worse now between, like Steve said, the social media blowing everything out of proportion. And then, people like Bill O'Reilly and all these other talk show hosts that basically, if they like you, they'll let you speak forever. You can have the entire show, but you say one thing they don't like and they're immediately yelling at you, calling you, you're going to kill the country. You're wrong. You're evil. You're bad, and not letting you get your point out. And people see that and they emulate that.
Right. I mean, you mentioned the Lincoln Douglas debates. I mean, those were really debates where they would, point and counterpoint.
Yep.
And have long, some of those Lincoln Douglas debates went 4 hours or 5 hours, right, of them just talking back and forth. The kind of debates we see on TV now are not debates.
They're bullet points. They're heavily
scripted. Yeah. And they're heavily scripted on the part of whoever is running the debate. They're the ones that are in charge, not the candidates. Yeah.
Well, the presidential debates we see, they've got their bullet points, they've got their talking points they need to get out. They get them out, and it doesn't matter if it answers the question or not. They get them out.
The kind of debate I'd like to see is like, all right, tonight we're going to talk about foreign policy, and you sit everybody down in a chair and you say, okay, go talk about it.
Instead
of having pointed questions, just like you said, where they're trying to get you to say something you're going to regret, or let's see if we can get Trump to say this, or let's see if we can get Hillary to say that, and those aren't debates.
Exactly,
this is a hot button for me. I really think we're being really disturbed by all of that.
Yeah, that's why I can't stand to watch them anymore. Hey. Let's do this before we get too much further in the show. It's time for a little bit of a break, because I'm starting to feel heated because of all this political debate.
I'm pretty sure not one person has ever changed their opinion because of something you read on Facebook.
No, or heard in a debate or whatever. But right. At least we're expressing ourselves, and I'm going to express our desire for you, dear listener, to support the StarQuest Production Network in our effort in the new evangelization. Doing our shows costs money, and we need your help with that by becoming a friend of SQPN. And you can do that by heading over to sqpn.com, and then you'll see a little button there that says Friends of SQPN, and nice, easy ways to donate, whether you want to do a monthly contribution or a one-time contribution. All of those are there for you to choose. Let's see. Also, another way to support our show is by doing your shopping at Amazon.com. But before you do, make sure that you click on our Amazon affiliate link based on your company of residence or country of residence. And that way you can do your shopping just as you would normally, but it really helps the network, because a very small portion of your purchase is donated to us. And did I mention that contributing to the StarQuest Production Network could possibly and usually is tax deductible? We're coming up here to the end of the year, and we're a 501c3 corporation, which usually means for most of us that that's a tax deductible donation. So please consider us in your giving. And then finally, Bluehost. If you you have a blog or a website that you want to host and you haven't picked one yet, Bluehost is a great one to pick. According to Father Roderick, I love Bluehost. They make it super easy to set up a blog, and Bluehost offers unlimited bandwidth and storage space for a very low price. Plus, you get a .com domain name included in the price, I think, if you sign up for a year. So head over to sqpn.com/Bluehost and you'll see the Bluehost banner there. And again, that helps support the StarQuest production network. Now, Steve, you use Bluehost. You still happy with the service?
Absolutely. I have had no issues that I can think of. And okay. Yeah, love it.
Excellent. And Maria M. Johnson, the site, the home of Maria's outstanding blog, is also hosted by Bluehost, I believe. And
it is. I have a whole nice little shebang going. It's amazing that I can actually make it work because, you know, how I am, computing and all that. So.
Well, there you go. As Father Roderick said, super easy to set up a blog. So check it out.
I like that word shebang, too.
Shebang. Shebing, shebang, shebang. All right.
Shazam.
Shazam. Hey, you know what? I think, you know, we were talking about the fact that it was the Immaculate Conception this past week, but today is a special day also centered around our Blessed Mother Mary. It is the feast of the Our Lady of Guadalupe, and that's today. And I thought it might be fun to do this. Do a little bit of a quiz. What do you think? You guys up to that?
Okay. We got it. Let's go.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at this, and I don't think any of our contestants on the panel are looking at this, so they can't cheat.
Nope. Not looking.
Okay.
It's not even in the show notes, so I can't look.
It is not in the show notes, but hey, Mike is taking notes for us today. I will give you the link to this quiz as soon as we finish it. And if I forget to, please remind me. Okay. So what is Our Lady of Guadalupe that is so popular among the Spanish people, speaking people of this country? Is it A, a mysterious image, B, a religious painting, C, a revered statue, or 4, a famous church?
Well, it's not really a painting, but that's the closest one to it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The first option is a mysterious image.
Oh, okay. Yes, that one.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. It is a mysterious image. Let's see. The infrared photography determined no brush strokes or underdrawing. It was on a thing made of cactus, cactus leaves, I guess, or cactus cloth or a tilma, I think they call it. Mm-hmm. The image is essentially photographic in character. However, as the image dates from 1531, it cannot be explained by science. Okay, second question. Where can the famous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe be found today?
Ooh, I know that one.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Mexico City.
That is correct. The choices were Madrid, Cozumel, Lima, Peru, or Mexico City. And
Cozumel.
Yeah, Cozumel. You know. Right there on the beaches.
Why not? Yeah. In Mexico.
Yeah.
You know what's an interesting fact about that photographic image? When they zoom on the eyes.
Oh, watch.
Oh, I don't know the quiz.
I know you don't. So don't. I'm going to stop you right there because there is a question regarding that.
Cool.
Anyway, the image is displayed in the new basilica, which is located on Tepeyac Hill within 6 miles of the Mexico City Center. The shrine is visited annually by 20 million pilgrims. Okay. Wow. Question number 3. This tilma was carefully preserved. True or false? Was it carefully preserved?
False. Carefully preserved?
From when to when?
Well, okay. It's kind of a bad question.
It's preserved now.
Well, it is now, but false. This ayate or cactus fabric with a lifespan normally of only 20 years has been displayed for more than 470 years. It is in good condition, including the vibrant colors. This tilma has withstood torrid Mexican summers, the soot of thousands of candles, a spill of nitric acid, and a bomb blast which bent a heavy metal crucifix, but failed to break the glass frame covering this image. That was kind of a little miracle there. Okay, so number 4, the significance of Tepeyac Hill, the site of, am I saying that right, Tepeyac?
Yep.
The site of this apparition.
I've heard it as.
okay, is that it was the original historic Aztec shrine to the Mother of God. So is this true or false? This, the site of this apparition was the original historic Aztec shrine to the Mother of God.
That sounds false to me.
Okay.
I thought that's where Diego received the...
That is. But it also was the original Aztec shrine to the great Mother of God, Tonantzin. The image was given to Juan Diego, an Aztec peasant, on a tilma or cactus cloth robe. So
I've never heard that before.
I had not either. I said false as well. I'm thinking, well, that can't be right.
That sounds a little too coincidental. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when the Lady of Guadalupe spoke Spanish, I mean, did the Lady of Guadalupe speak Spanish to Juan Diego?
No, she probably spoke his indigenous language.
You are correct, Maria. She spoke Aztec or Nahuatl at Tepeyac, which has no D or G sounds, and the corruption of translation is understandable as the bishop was Spanish. The phonetic equivalent may have been Tocuete Lope, I can't pronounce these words, which roughly means the one who delivers from evil. Guadalupe was an old shrine in Spain, and the bishop understood the interpreter as saying Guadalupe. However, it is unlikely that is the word he used. Oh. So Guadalupe may not even been exactly what she said. But anyway, that's interesting. The lady told Juan Diego to tell Bishop Zumarraga to build a church at the site. In response, the bishop told Juan Diego he wanted a sign to verify that the apparition and request were truly from the Mother of God. What was the sign that Juan Diego brought? Here are the choices.
Roses in the dead of winter.
Well, there you go. The choices were a gold medallion, gemstones, lilies, or roses. And yes, you are correct, Miss Maria. It is roses. And so a special kind of rose, too, that were not indigenous or, you know, part of the local flora and fauna of Mexico City. Okay, number seven, within 5 years of the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 6 million baptisms took place. So within 5 years, 6 million baptisms took place. Is that true or false?
True.
That's true.
I thought it was more.
Actually, it's false. It was a little bit less. 5 million in 5 years, about a million a year. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a trick question.
It is a trick question.
I felt like there was a five in there.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That is very impressive. That's
what is it, like 60,000 a day?
I don't know. Get the calculators out. Staff?
Yeah.
I'm doing math in my head on a Saturday morning. It's probably not anywhere near right.
Yeah.
I can't do math in my head, Saturday morning or not.
Okay.
Let me get out my calculator.
Yeah. You can do that while we do number eight. The image at Guadalupe shows Our Lady to be Aztec royalty, pregnant, greater than their sun god, or all of these. Our Lady, the image shows Our Lady to be Aztec royalty, pregnant, and greater than their sun god.
Well, all of those are true.
That is true.
All the above.
All the above is correct. There you go. Mm-hmm.
By the way, it was 2,700 baptisms per day. If they did them all, spread them out.
I was only off by 10.
Yeah, whatever.
Nerd.
So, examining this photographic image, what is seen reflected in the eyes of the image? Is it a crucifix? Is it roses? Is it Juan Diego? Or is it the moon? I think Maria knows the answer.
I think it's all of those guys that were there. It was Juan Diego and the bishop and the people that were there.
It says a study by several.
Oh, no. Juan Diego would be the only one.
Yep. He was the only one there. A study by several ophthalmologists of the eyes of this image reveals that the reflection found there is in conformity with the laws of optics, specifically the Purkinje-Sanson law of optic physiology. The mirror principle of the human eye is well represented in this image with a clear representation of Juan Diego reflected in her eyes.
Hmm.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine what sort of expression was on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and the last question. Our Lady of Guadalupe is also known as A, Mother of the Americas, B, Protectress of the Unborn, C, Patroness of Latin America, or all of the above.
All of the above. All of the above.
You are correct, so, sir. All right.
She's well, the fun. Protectress of the unborn because of that black belt that she's mm-hmm. wearing. She's wearing a black sash in the image.
Uh-huh.
And in Spanish, the polite way to say that one is pregnant is to say that they are encinta, I think in French, enceinte. And that black sash that she's wearing is a symbol of pregnancy, of being mm-hmm. with child.
Very cool.
Interesting.
A very important feast day, everyone, especially here in the Americas. Within 15 years of this miraculous appearance at Tepeyac Hill, 9 million Mexican people were baptized in 15 years. This has been called the, quote, Counter-Reformation, as this mm-hmm. occurred while Martin Luther in Germany was introducing new thought and worship to Europeans. So yep. this all happened about the same time.
Hmm.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So that was a fun quiz. I'm glad that I found this on funtrivia.com. All right.
Cool. Well, there are lots of celebrations scheduled in the parishes around here for Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I'll bet there is. I hope to go to some of them. Yeah, especially I would imagine in your neck of the woods in Oklahoma, a lot of native Spanish speakers there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, let's do this. Maybe a little bit early to do that right now. We have about 20 minutes remaining, a little less than 20, and we can stretch it out if need be. So who would like to start with this morning's or this today's episode's picks of the week?
Well, I can go. I've got one, and it's actually got a trailer. So if you can bring up, if you've got the show notes there,
okay.
I've already linked
Let
to
me
the website, and they can bring up the trailer.
Find for that. It. Let me scroll down. I'm scrolling down. Okay.
So my pick this week is called The Wild Goose, and it's a video series on thewildgooseisloose.com. I love that address. And what it is, it's a series about the Holy Spirit. It's a video series about the Holy Spirit, and they say why they picked the name Wild Goose is because in Celtic practice, ancient Celts would call the Holy Spirit the Wild Goose. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has kind of a wildness. You know, it's not something, as he puts it, meek, like a meek dove or a flickering flame of a candle, but it's a power. The Holy Spirit is a power in our lives, and it is not a gentle breeze, but a raging wind that if we allow the Holy Spirit to move our lives, it is a raging wind. So it's being done by Father Dave, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, of the TORs, the Third Order Regular Franciscans who run Franciscan University in Steubenville. And it's just talking about the Holy Spirit in our lives, what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, inviting us as Catholics to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, you know, because yeah, we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, we receive it at confirmation, but do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Do we allow it to blow us to follow God, if you will? There's a little trailer. I think if you click into the website itself there, Jeff, there you can scroll down and see a trailer.
Oh, okay. Begin the event. I'm sorry. I thought that I was going to press right here. Segment two, the breath
scroll
of God.
Down. Yeah. Scroll down a bit.
Okay.
I'm watching it on the video as he's doing it. There you go. You can see Wild Goose trailer.
Okay. Are you ready for me to play that?
Yeah, please do.
Oh, look at that.
Once you get rid of the pop over.
Sign up that. Okay. here, let me go full screen. And then I'm going to turn up the echo knob. So just be aware that you might get some echoing if you start talking again. Okay, hang on.
We need to be able to talk more about the Holy Spirit. I think this is a unique time in the life of the church, a time where we radically need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. God's love is the deepest desire of every human heart. Only the Holy Spirit can pour forth God's love, that love of God which can satisfy and can renew. The ancient Celts called the Holy Spirit the wild goose. There's a wildness about it that the Spirit represents. This Holy Spirit that comes in power, this Holy Spirit that comes with the breath of life, that simply isn't a lot of people's experience. I mean, more times than I can care to remember, people have come up to me and they said, "Father Dave, I've never heard such a thing." What each one of us needs is the Holy Spirit that breathes life into us.
The Wild Goose is loose.com. Link in the show notes. That's awesome.
So they're putting out the series now. It's as it said in the trailer, for those who are watching the video, it is a 14 video series. They've got the first two videos out now, so you can go watch them now. And, you know, you saw the beautiful churches that they filmed it at, beautiful locations. You know, one of them, it looked like it was Niagara Falls or something like that. You know, just beautiful areas. So it's, check it out. Looks very interesting.
Yeah, I love the cinematography, the filmography of it? It's so beautiful. I mean, what a difference it is in what people are producing today in Catholic media as opposed to some of the awful stuff.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's so true. I remember when I was still in high school, they had this video series of then Brother Jeremy Driscoll, now Father Jeremy Driscoll of the Mount Angel Abbey. He's a brilliant professor. I mean, he's got, you know, degrees and studies, spends half his year in Rome teaching and half the year at Mount Angel in Oregon teaching. But it was a 1980s video, and it literally was this empty stage or empty room with the moderator, the lady who was interviewing him, if you will, and then Brother Jeremy. And it was obviously filmed on like a Sony VHS camcorder, and it was just horrid. But you compare to this now, which is the cinematography is far and away beyond what you've seen even on EWTN, to be honest.
That was awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Great pick of the week. I'm going to check it out as soon as I can. Let's see. Maria, what is your pick this week?
Yeah. Well, my pick today is multi-layered. I'm going to start with Catholic TV, and then I'm going to move from Catholic TV to one of their shows, This is the Day, with Father Robert Reed. And on Tuesday, December 15th, so it's kind of a date sensitive, Lisa Miladnik is going to be on there, talking about her book, True Radiance, Finding Grace in the Second Half of Life. And I mean, I guess I'm representing all the women. I'm the only woman left here on the panel and in midlife on top of that. And I was so moved by this book. This is really a strong recommendation, especially for the ladies to catch it if you can. It's at 10:30 on Tuesday. I'm just so looking forward to seeing her and hearing what she has to say, because like I said, I was really moved by her book, and, there's not a lot written for women of our age.
Excellent.
What, in your 30s?
Yeah. In 29.
Yeah. 29. Yeah. Okay.
I'll be celebrating my second 29th birthday very soon.
So I noticed something in the show notes that Lynn had put in something, and you mentioned Lisa Miladnik. It was a great friend of SQPN, and something about finding your soul sister or something like that. What is the, let me scroll down here.
Oh, it's a quiz. Yeah. Yeah. It's
yeah. Who is your soul sister? True Radiance quiz by Lisa Maladnik. Yeah. Have you done that?
That's right. Yeah. I can't remember who it was because I looked at who I got and I was like, nah,
no.
I'm going to be really tacky and say I preferred the badass saint that I got in my place. So.
All right. Very good. Steve?
My pick of the week is I would like to have a shout out and request a prayer for the Bishop of Tulsa, Bishop Edward Slattery. He's up for retirement. And so this is the first time in the history of our diocese. We're a pretty young diocese. We've only had three bishops since 1972. And this is the first time we've had one retire.
Wow.
And the two previous ones were both transferred. So this is the first time the diocese is going through this. And, you know, and there are prayers being said in every parish, you know, praying for him and praying for his successor. So I just like to ask everybody to do that because this is going to be an important time for our diocese as we go through a transition like this. So that's my pick.
Okay. Excellent. Always, prayer is always good. Always a good pick. My pick this week is, somebody, who is a friend of SQPN and, part of our community who, has watched Catholic Weekend for some time and other StarQuest Production Network shows. And, also a follower of my aviation show as well, Dan Faulkner. He, I think he is in the process of converting to Catholicism or maybe he has already converted, but he started a podcast. And I think I've mentioned this in the past as one of my picks of the week, Catholic Convert Podcast. And he invited me on his show. I was on the last episode, episode number 9. And the title is Priests Are People Too. And if you are wondering exactly what that is all about, you need to check out his latest episode and subscribe to his great podcast. And again, he makes the point that when we think of converting to Catholicism, we think, you know, it's just somebody who is new to the Catholic faith. But guess what? Every single one of us, whether we have been Catholic all of our lives or if we were just Catholic a month or two ago, are in the process of conversion. And so it's something that we undergo throughout our lives. And let me play a little bit of the beginning of a show here.
This week on the Catholic Convert Podcast, we're joined by host of Catholic Weekend, Jeff Nelson, and he talks to us about his conversion. We also talk about prayer, Mass, and becoming comfortable practicing religion in a group setting. Stay right here, Catholic Convert Podcast is coming right up.
Okay, as you can hear,
in the name of the Father,
Dan is from down under in New Zealand, Dunedin in New Zealand on the South Island. So I love his accent. Mm. Anyway, so
I love New Zealand.
Yeah, you know,
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. I was telling Dan that I've always thought that it'd be kind of a cool concept to have a podcast that talks about conversion and people who are coming into the church and all the questions that they may have about our faith. In fact, that's, you know, one of the most rewarding things that I've done in my life is become an RCIA instructor or facilitator or whatever you call the position. And I really miss that. I did that for about 9 years at my previous parish. And one of these days, I hope to get back into it and become involved in the rite of Christian initiation of adults at my new parish.
Coincidentally, I had lunch with my pastor yesterday, and I asked him if I could be involved in some one-on-one catechesis with college students. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Cool. You know, every time that we step up to do that kind of evangelization or catechesis, we think that we're doing it for the benefit of the other. And it really helps us grow so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a two-way street for sure.
Mm-hmm. And may sound selfish, but that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do it, because I need that spiritual rejuvenation myself.
Sure.
One of the directors of the RCIA program, when Linda and I were coming through the program to become Catholic 15 years ago, I can't believe, I still feel like I'm a new Catholic, but it was...
Welcome home.
Yeah,
Jeff.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The Jubilee year 2000 is when we came in.
Excellent.
Anyway, Ruth Applegate, she owned a bookstore, and I was hanging out of the bookstore and, you know, just pouring through all kinds of volumes of Christian Catholic apologetics and, you know, books by, Patrick Madrid and Tim Staples and, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? The guy that does Journey Home, Marcus Scrodi. And, I couldn't get enough of that stuff. And then, you know, started having that conversation with Ruth. And, now we call Ruth our Catholic grandmother. she said the reason why she got so deep into her faith is that when her kids started getting older and started asking questions about the Catholic faith, she realized that she really didn't know that much about it. So just the process of educating herself to educate her children, got her, you know, reconnected with the faith and, really took it and ran with it and opened up a Catholic bookstore and became, the director of the RCIA program at St. Andrew. It was just, what a great group of people. As you said, selfishly, I really miss, you know, sharing my faith with others. But
Excellent. Anyway,
so there you go. Pick of the week, Catholic Convert podcast. And I think we got everybody, didn't we?
Yep.
Sometimes I skip people's picks. So, all right. Well, Maria, we mentioned that you had a blog, Maria M. Johnson. And tell us how we can find that.
All right. You can go to mariamjohnson.com or Mariam Johnson, as you like to say, or as I read every time I look at it and groan. You can follow me on Twitter at Pago or like my Facebook page.
What about that book?
Huh?
What about that book?
Buy My Badass Book of Saints on sale now at Amazon, or you can get it at AveMariaPress.com.
Okay. Excellent.
Yep.
And let's see, Father Corey Stika, some excellent homilies. If you want to hear what your priest's homily should sound like, head over to Laudate Domini, frcorey.org.
Correct. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, and so on at Fr Corey Stika, last name spelled Stica. And assuming Facebook is correct, I want to give a shout out to our priest friend from the north, Father Daryl Millett. It is his birthday tomorrow, December 13th. So happy birthday, Father Daryl.
Happy birthday, Father. And Steve has a great blog as well, everythingesteban.com.
You are correct, Jeff.
And how else can we follow Mr. Steve Nelson?
You can follow me on Twitter at Steve_Nelson. Just don't be this one guy that keeps following and unfollowing me and keeps, I think he wants me to follow him back. So, because I looked at his Twitter feed and it's full of diatribes of all kinds of stuff. And it's I'm not following this guy back. But every day I get a notice that says, so-and-so has followed you.
Uh-huh.
Next day, so-and-so has followed you.
It's the lock.
Well, hey. It's time for us to go now. Have a great Catholic weekend. Take care. God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.